Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of Hoops and Hammers. I am your host, Cade Robar, and today's a pretty good topic, I think. I've done some research because this is a very odd topic to me. Not like super odd, but like I have strong opinions, I should say, about this topic. It's not that I don't like it. I quite enjoy this topic. Where is that? It's just, I know some people probably won't exactly agree. Now, today we're going to be talking about super teams. Now, whether you agree with me or not, did I get that other one? Image.jpg? No, I think I lost that. Damn. If you agree with me or not, super teams are defined as a team with two or more elite players, at least one of whom was acquired after they had already become elite status. Good examples. I mean, in my eyes at least, this was one that it would have been viewed as one, but getting into basketball later, this wasn't really talked about as much, but like for a certain amount of time, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, two more, I forget, LeBron James. Wow, I can't think of names. Cavaliers, the Heat, OKC, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony. Most recent, definitely the one that was looked at by the public eye, at least a lot, and had a lot of publicity, was the Brooklyn Nets, which I will get to in a bit. Another one, I guess, that could have been considered would be Paul George and Kawhi on the Clippers. That's another one I'll get to. The Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis. It's just, to me, super team is a very loose term. I don't agree with it in some aspects because a lot of the time I don't think it really matters who you have on the team. I think team chemistry is the important aspect there. That's why, like, as much as it's weird saying, the Bulls repeat team, as the team chemistry wasn't phenomenal at points, they still did play with each other for a long time. They had that chemistry, although at points not great, still worked out for them. The Golden State Warriors, they went for two. That would have been scary. Steph Curry, Klay, and Kevin Durant. I know Kevin Durant can be a bit of a player chemistry-wise, but clearly they got two rings, almost got three. It's something that I feel super team should be a bit broader. Like, it's already a broad term. Two players, one of whom was acquired after they had already become elite. I don't know. But who I want to touch on as of right now is the Clippers. I was trying to find data for said topic, but I do have it already. Would be Paul George and our good friend Kawhi Leonard. Now, going back to when Kawhi first moved, that was a whole big deal. People thought they were going to curb stomp, and it wasn't an exciting time. I still don't believe they are a super team, and I still don't believe that they're going to get a chip anytime soon, personally. That's me. It could happen. I mean, anything's possible, but I don't think they're contenders, genuinely. Same with Zion. I don't think the Pelicans are chip contenders. They're not exactly a super team. Zion's still a new, fresh player, but I don't think he's going to... Like, he's good, and I respect him for that, but I truly don't think he's going to do a ton. I don't think he's going to get just the Pelicans to the chip. He needs other players to help him. But anyways, back to the topic at hand. Clearly, Paul George had a rough time in the pandemic. And now, I mean, he put that up to anxiety. Fine. I guess. But I don't find, like, in the Dallas Clippers series, 14 points in the second game, 11 points in the third, 9 in the fourth, 15 in the sixth, 19 in the first with Denver, 10 in the fourth game with Denver, and 10 in the seventh game with Denver. Now, there were some pretty good aspects. He got 33 in the sixth, 26 in the fifth, and 32 in the third against Denver. His highest game was 27 against Dallas, but we don't want to touch on that. Now, this season, clearly, he pulled up with better numbers. Lowest, from what I can tell, being 20. And that happened once. He had a couple 23s, 22s, and that was in the first thing against Dallas, which kind of leads me to believe that Paul George doesn't play well against Dallas. Now, that's just an assumption. That's just guessing. But from what I can see here, that's just kind of what I'm seeing. Again, other than that, though, he did good against Phoenix. I mean, they lost, but he did well in the other games. I don't think I know the definition is two elite players, but from this just doesn't scream, I'm going to boot stomp you. Prepare to lose. Kawhi, who, honest to God, could be considered one of the best players right now, did pretty well. His lowest point, and this is the 2020 series, this is pandemic bubble. His lowest from what I can see, was 13 points game 2 against Denver. He had a rough one in game 7 as well. Both of them didn't play well, but other than that, 20 to 30 points. That's pretty good. Do I see anything truly happening with the Clippers? No, I don't think so, at least. Especially with Kawhi right now. I touched on it a bit last episode with ACLs, but I want to touch on it again. The ACL is a major, major injury. Before I jump into that, actually, I just want to say Kawhi and Paul George both could have been free agents this year. They could have left. I don't think they will, but just, yeah, it's just notable. Anyways, the ACL is an awful, awful thing to damage. As I said, it's in collaboration with the LCL. It forms an X in between your femur and tibia. It's the muscle, two really small but strong bands of muscle that connect the tibia and to the femur. A good example of an injury that ruined a career, though, was Derrick Rose. We all know Derrick Rose damaged it in a hop step in the, I think it would have been 2012-2013. Yeah, 2012-2013 season is when he didn't play. He would have injured it in the 2011-2012. They were contenders. I mean, the man averaged 20.5, 21.1, and I think 25.3 points in the seasons leading up to the injury, with the injury year being his best average, which I'm quite sure was 25.3 points a game. That is ludicrous. I mean, it's very good when you're averaging that amount of points. But he damaged his left, tore his left ACL. That's critical. That's awful. And then not even the season he took off, 10 games into the next one, damaged and tore his right meniscus, which the meniscus is a C-shaped disc of cartilage that's in between the femur and the tibia and fibula, and it acts as a shock absorption. So with them jumping, with the amount that basketball players are running and jumping, it is a critical, really bad thing to injure. Cartilage is brutal because it's essential. Cartilage is very important to just maneuvering everyday life. It's shock absorbent. So like every step you take, jumping, say you have to reach something, stand on your tippy toes, all that extra kinetic energy and force is absorbed by cartilage and ligaments that hold everything together. D-Rose has, and I mean in D-Rose's case, he's destroyed himself. He hasn't averaged 20 points since the injury. He hasn't, like, that's, it's a shame because he was good. And, like, to see talent like that get ruined just from an injury. Now, why I touched on that is because Kawhi injured his ACL and he didn't finish the last series with the Clippers. Do I see anything super serious happening in the future? Possibly if he doesn't take care of himself, but that, knowing Kawhi, I don't think he'd let that happen. He takes medical teams on, or medical staff on teams, pretty seriously. So I just don't believe he would let it get to a point where he was truly in danger of not healing. But I just, with them being considered a super team, having Kawhi out like that is brutal. I think he may be back. I'm not sure. I haven't looked into that. But that kind of leads me into my next topic with things, which I'll get to in a moment. But having Kawhi out leaves Paul George. And Paul George clearly proved himself in the last series. He got averaged, I think, roughly at least 30 points. There was a game of 21. And I mean, that's still phenomenal. For a man that absolutely sucked, is the easiest way to put it, in the bubble. I understand saying anxiety and dealing with it is shitty. But I just don't think that can really sum up all of it to just anxiety. I think that's a poor way to just write off. I'm not saying that it wasn't all factual. Anxiety definitely played a part in his poor performance, and I'm not claiming that it isn't. It's just I don't think you can claim it all on anxiety. I think he just played bad, and that's that. My main thing I kind of want to touch on, though, is the Brooklyn Nets as of this year, or last, with the Milwaukee series. They're said they're gonna steamroll, they're gonna boot stomp. Oh no. I didn't agree with it when it was first said, and I still don't agree with it. The Brooklyn Nets are stacked, I won't lie there, but I don't think anything phenomenal or amazing will come out of them. You have three big names: James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. I Chuck Blake Griffin in there, I guess, but he injured himself long ago, and he still has, like, it's the same thing as D-Rose. So when you have those big three injured, what's left to be used as a crutch? There's no reason Kevin Durant should have to carry a team. No reason James Harden should have to carry a team. A good example, to me at least, is the last Milwaukee-Brooklyn Nets series game. Very, very fun game. And if you're a fan of the sport, I highly recommend you go watch highlights or just try and stream the game again. It was fun. My gripe with it, though, with them being a super team, with their status of a super team, because, I mean, looking at it, like, you have the big three, Blake Griffin, and, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge also did quite well. There's absolutely no reason, that game should have just came down to Kevin Durant's gremlin foot on the line. It shouldn't have. If they're that good of a super team, if they're supposed to be praised and like, oh no, they're going to steamroll, at no point in time should have that game came down to, oh no, his toe was over the line. Or wasn't over the line. Or no, it was on the line. You shouldn't be betting on that if your team is that stacked. I know they were injured. Players were injured. But I just can't see that as being an excuse, because when those players are injured, there's nothing left. Kevin Durant can't do everything, and he was roasted and ridiculed. I was making fun of him. But at the end of the day, it's not warranted because he was carrying the team. Even James Harden did okay, but he was still hurt. Like, it was all resting on the cliff of his Subway sandwich foot on a line, and I just don't think with the prestige and amount of, like, oh, big scary super team should have been on that. Yeah, you know what? Giannis is good. Giannis is probably one of the best players we'll see in a long time, so it's a good matchup. But at the end of the day, it's Giannis and some other good players. They have talent, but nothing matches to Giannis. Like, you know, you have Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, who probably has some of the best handles, if not the best handles in the game. The injury bothered him, but Blake Griffin, that team truly, to me, should have won without it coming down to a foot on the line. And I think that just proves my point that injuries can cripple a team. If you sink the money into a super team like this, injuries will tear you down. Team chemistry is important, and I don't think with how demanding and how they play with, like, Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving, they're all very demanding players. They don't want to be in the shadow of another player. And that just ruined their chemistry. They did good. I can't deny that. But at the same time, I don't think they did as well as they clearly could have. I know it's the first year of them being together, but it's still, like, look at the Golden Knights. It's not a good example, but they almost won their first season in the league, and now they're just kind of falling apart because they put so much money into players in the addition draft of a new team, and they're just kind of falling apart. The Brooklyn Nets, when Kevin Durant and them leave, aren't going to be anything more than a couple of players looking to get out of there. And I think that's a shame, because it's nice seeing a team like this come together. It doesn't happen very often, and as a nuisance as it is, it's still semi-fun to watch. It's nice that the Lakers didn't win this year. It's nice seeing other players win. But at the same time, it's just rough watching when you know, deep down, I don't think Giannis should have won against the Nets. I love Giannis. He's my favorite player, favorite team. Do I think he should have won? No. Knowing the matchup, statistically, I don't. Because it was the Giannis show, basically. When he wasn't playing well, he had Chris Middleton to back him up. And Chris Middleton is okay. He's a good player, but I wouldn't put him at the same tier as some of the superstars. I think this playoff definitely added him to the question of it, but I don't believe that he's still at that level. Now, speaking of super teams, I do think, to get to the Warhammer aspect of this, best super team known to mankind, we got the Space Marines. They're genetically modified humans, protecting humanity in 40K. Each Space Marine comes from roughly, how it works is every chapter in the galaxy. So just imagine the NBA. You have a bunch of teams, so that's what Space Marine chapters are. Each chapter has their own unique color, emblem, rules they go by, methods, how they act. Some dislike aliens, some dislike heretics. It's all unique. Typically, they have their own genetic quirks as well. The founding chapters, there's 18 of. Some of them are heretic, but that's not important. They all have, like, unique birth issues and stuff, but that's besides the point. The Death Watch, which is, like, a custom chapter almost, is made up of veteran Space Marines of every chapter. So getting asked to join the Death Watch is a very honorable thing. They only fight aliens. They're very specialized in killing aliens or Xenos. And it's unique. They work with, like, the Inquisition, which is super secret space police. They're not important. But that's what they specialize in. They get cool, like, customized silver pauldrons with, like, iconography, like, cool emblems and graphs and stuff, and it's all silver. And then their original chapter logo goes on their right arm. A good quote is, "We do not hate the alien because he's different. We hate the alien because he had naught but hate in his heart for us." And that's just a good view into how Space Marines work. Now on the court, do I think they'd perform well? They perform pretty well. Roughly every Space Marine is 7 to 8 feet tall. They can run a 300 meter dash in 18 seconds, and they can jump around 7 to 10 meters into the air, and if they're really trying, 15 feet. So, personally, I think that they can ball very hard. They also have jetpacks, but that would kind of be illegal, I think. They can spit acid. I don't know how that'd play into effect. Keep in mind, these guys are human. That's besides the point. They just got special powers. They don't need to breathe under, or like, they can breathe underwater. I don't think they'd really need to hydrate either, so that, like, they could run the entire game with a starting five, and that's all they need. I think it'd be a pretty fair matchup against some of today's super teams, and I'd like to see it happen at some point. So far, that's all I wanted to really touch on today. A bit of a fun topic. The season is starting soon, which is very good because it gives me more material to touch on. But hopefully, I think it is next week on Tuesday. Hopefully these first two episodes are a bit of a glimpse into what we're going to be looking at and talking about. This one was definitely a lot more thought out, and I had some notes and stuff, but next episode, next week, give me some topics. I have Twitter for the podcast. I'm going to be opening an Instagram as well, just for more interactability. And hopefully I'll see you drop a follow. But other than that, thank you for listening. Have a good day. Hoops and Hammers out.